public, so I could, for instance, record actions in my own studio and then started to manipulate them more with the possibilities you have with video, like manipulating time and things like that. Very simple in the beginning, and this has grown into what I do now is usually making audiovisual installations, and in this case it's just audio, but audio and visuals are always like very much, let's put it this way, I not put an audio score under a videotape. I record situations and the audio is always very closely connected to the video, so that's, it's not like creating an audio atmosphere. So that's generally what I do now.
But the basic thing is, the first thing is music, and then comes the picture.
I just come from Beijing, and I've made a film there, filming in the street, and then made an installation out of this film, in which the sound is also playing a very physical and a role, because it's also moving in space. And what I like very much in general is to use more or less manipulating also the public by means of placing audio in space, so people can move around or walk around, and they become part of my work in that way. So also in the work I have here. It's not just this circle of speakers hanging in this room, but what's important for me is also if you put people in this space, people start to walk around, and they are sort of part of the work. So in that aspect, it's a sort of primitive, interactive piece also.
So there are two movements. One is the movement of sound and space, and the second movement is the kinetics of spectator, how he moves.
And how they move, and also they... they become a part. When I walk into my own work, I like to watch it and also watch people, how they are interacting with this, with what's happening in this space, and that's important too for me.
I saw you shooting a video of people enjoying your work, as to say. Are you doing some kind of things, analyzing the audience, their reaction, or is just
when I'm recording? No, it's just for documentation. Okay. Like I want to see, I have to make some sort of documentation. I want to film the situation and the way people react on it.
I'd like to return to what you said about your this work of what you have in Riga. I was asking if sound is primary against the video, and you said it's not true. That
It can be, but it depends. I mean, sometimes the images, for instance, the way I've been working in Beijing, it started with filming in the streets, and then the sound is there, and then I start to use this. But in this case, of course, the sound has been the beginning. It's the human voice, and the development, and my special interest in that has been that in lots of other work I did, is sort of the thin line between the original voice we have. So when a baby is born, he has a voice, he can shout or he can make noise. And this is very primitive, animal-like. This is an animal-like sound it can make, and this is developing in the years that are coming. It's developing into a sort of human voice, so it's changing from primitive animal possibilities to very sophisticated human possibilities, and sort of this gradual changing, that's part of the background also of this work. So I created pieces where the shouting is where the singing is gradually changing in shouting and then flowing back into singing again.
But what we heard in your work in Riga here, the screaming in your piece, there were screaming of babies?
No, it's my scream, and I've used some other people to do that, and it's a matter of changing the pitch. That's what I did mainly, and if you hide the pitch, you come into the field of a sort of baby scream. In fact, I have done a piece, it's a long time ago, with my son when he was 4 years old, and I recorded all the sounds he made when he was a baby. When we changed his diaper, I put a camera above this place, and I recorded all the sounds he made, and especially at that period of time when the baby starts to experiment in a very open way with sound, and where you can sort of see the transformation from primitive animal-like sounds into sort of sophisticated something falling on my head here.
Okay.
So and I made a sort of at that time made a sort of conversation between this baby with his very primitive sounds and the grown-up who is trying to imitate these primitive sounds, which can be really difficult because it's amazing what a baby is doing with his voice already, and it's very open and very.
It reminds me of a text from one of Shakespeare's plays when he has written that. Every human comes into life by groaning and shouting, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing he does. He's screaming in suffering, you know, and that's the beginning of each life. And
so that's and in fact it's not so obvious, but I have created a sort of because the work has a beginning and an end, and it starts with a high pitched scream and it ends with a very low pitched scream, so I've created a sort of things that change in time, and so there are three different octaves. In fact, it starts at the high octave, and then you have the middle part, and then you end in the low part. But in fact, what I had in mind before, just to give you an idea how this work started, I had a sort of image in my head, like a choir which is singing into a church, and they are very sophisticated, and the men wear so it's like it's like they are very cultivated and in fact what they do is hiding the animal part, and that's what we all do. We are human beings, we want to hide the fact that we are born as we have an origin in an animal origin, and it's a bit like the fact that we are hiding it is making us human. That's the thought. And I had this image in my head, like this choir standing there, and everything is perfectly arranged, and so it's a highly sophisticated situation in a beautiful church, for instance, or whatever. And then the roof falls down or something like that. So, and what will happen? So everybody is singing in a beautiful way. The roof falls down, and then at that moment, it will sort of completely transformate in people trying to save their lives and getting back to the basic animal instincts you have, like survival, or it will be sort of literally changed from beautiful singing into survival shouting of people.
Was it a fantasy of yours, or you really did this?
No, it's just a fantasy. That's just an idea. Like you can have can the situation
switching
be
of,
switched from one point to another, and that's. But it's not like people who listen to my work have to get all these ideas or something. It's just my background, my interest, and where it comes from. That's.
Do you have some kind of dramaturgy in the pieces you brought to Riga?
Dramaturgy?
Yeah, I mean, like like story behind the work or some kind of
No, not really. But yeah, this is the story behind the work, in fact. And but there's not. I don't make a. How do you say this with film? You make a storyboard or whatever. Yeah, yeah. So I just. But I, of course, I had to. Before I start working, I have a plan. I make a sort of rough plan, which is in my head. I don't make a storyboard, but and it has to. That deals with three different parts and connecting them with shouting. Three different song parts, and in fact, this is what has what's new for me in this piece is the fact that I really make sort of musicological decisions, like listening to it, and so it's not just sound. It's sometimes it's on the edge of music. So and this music part is quite new for me actually, where you make decisions with composition or and these are you cannot really put your finger on that, but you listen and you try to change pitch, and you're creating a sort of atmosphere, which is and this is quite new because before this, I have never done that actually, and it's nice because I always wanted to be a musician, but never became one.
Are you self-taught?
Sorry?
Are you self-taught as a musician, autodidact?
Yeah, I don't feel a musician yet. I don't, but.
But your work was very musical.
Yeah.
I mean, so it was both harmonic. It was emotional. It was compositional. It was.
In that aspect, I'm.
It was quite much of a music.
Yeah. I didn't have education in that part, and not musicological in music or in composition or whatever. So.
Okay. I want to ask one, I believe, quite interesting question, especially for Latvian listeners, because, first, we don't really have the traditions of sound art. In Soviet time, we didn't have, I think we had none sound artists. We had experimental musicians, we had...
The choir... Singing is quite
That's quite popular thing.
Popular thing is because I've also seen I cannot remember his
that
name.
That is each
the conductor
each
in this
four
in the church.
Each 4 years we have a gathering of choir singers where there are around 30,000 people singing all together. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So it's quite amazing actually.
And I've seen high quality here in Latvia. Also in the St. Peter's Church there was a performance of. It appears to be a famous Latvian conductor, but I can't remember his name anymore. But it was really high quality, beautiful choir piece with orchestra.
Mm.
I loved it.
We've got
this tradition you have.
We have. It's not really sound art, but choir.
Yeah, sound art
choir
different.
Traditions are one of the strongest in the world, I believe. Like Latvian conductors, they say that Latvian choirs are the best in the world.
Yeah, and I was quite amazed. By it, in fact, as well.
We have a choir in each small village. But so returning to
sound art.
I recognized a few of the ideas of Stockhausen in your work, because
mm-hmm.
he was one of the pioneers playing with sound in space, and he actually had some realized and some unrealized ideas of specific original concert halls, which would be for around 50 spectators and with around 200 or 300 speakers in 360 degrees in all perimeter, you know.
Wasn't it speakers in all walls? He had something
he had
like
even in ground, in the ceiling, in walls, and all around.
Yeah.
And actually, he was one of the pioneers in what I saw in your work here in Riga, because
mm-hmm.
Stockhausen in the 70s, he also worked a lot of with this that he played. I'm not really sure if he did the same, but he had very similar ideas of playing each track in a separate speaker, or you know, he had many ideas of playing with sound in space. So and the thing what I want to ask you. And maybe you can tell a little bit more about it from your point of view. how you see your work in context of ideas of Stockhausen and in with ideas of European and world sound art history. Mm-hmm. Where do you see your work in it? And like, what is the
problem is I'm not very into it. I'm not really an expert in sound art, actually. My invitation here for the Resonance was for me like entering a new world. So I come more from visual arts. So I know a bit about Stockhausen, I know a bit about modern music, but I cannot really place myself into history in that kind. I don't know much about this, actually. Okay. So that's a difficult question for me.
Okay. I expected you were going to tell us something about the, I don't know, Western experience and in decades or in sound art, because in Latvia we have no traditions, actually. We've got few artists, you know. But
of course, I've been in modern music and I've listened to Philip Glass and I listened to all these kinds of modern stuff, but also for me it's difficult to, because you are sort of, I feel some sort of, you have been cut off of this, what happened in the West, or and you don't know, and you want to know from me what has
specifically about sound art. It's true.
Yeah.
Because most of people don't know what is sound art. If I would say to any Latvian something, just two words, sound art, he mm-hmm. would ask, what do
What's
you mean?
That?
What
and,
do you
and
mean?
And if you would ask video art, would that be more clear then?
Yes, that would be more clear. Okay. I think so. Because there are many variations of how video art can evolve.
But this whole discussion of video art and even photography, I mean, also in my when I did my final exams in 81, there was a big discussion if video could be art. I mean, it was just the beginning of video. Mm-hmm. And this has also happened with even with photography at that time, like... Yeah. Photography, nobody in the beginning, they really had to fight to be recognized that it can be art also. And I guess that's for sound is the same thing. But I missed it a bit because at that time I was really in sculpture and performance. So I missed this. I guess this was going on in the Netherlands in the same period where sound artists were fighting for to be recognized as serious artists too, and not just as.
But actually, from what I have read about Janis Ksenakis or Stockhausen, I have the impression
you
that
know more than I do, I guess.
I'm not sure, but as much as I got the picture, sound art quite immediately it became really big art.
Yeah.
Like Janis Ksenakis, he moved to Paris in late. Janis Ksenakis in late 50s, he moved to Paris. And first, he worked as an architect in the company of Le Corbusier.
Yeah.
And then immediately in 64 or something, they had all possible money and budget for creating huge sound art installations. Yeah. And the same happened with Stockhausen.
It may be because video is more technique bounded than sound art. I mean, sound art can also begin with making noise, so it's not so in its origin. It doesn't have to be closely related to technique. Yeah. And sound, you can make sound everywhere, and so it's in. But video is really a technical medium. It's you need technique to be able to see a moving image, but you don't need technique to hear sound. So that and in photography, same thing. I mean,
But anyways, how would you describe yourself? What is sound art?
Sound art.
There are a lot of discussions.
It's the most difficult question you can ask.
There are, even till today, there are discussions between sound artists.
It's about the same question as asking what's art. I mean...
No, not really, because art is a platform for creative, activities, while sound art is a specific genre, which definitely have to have some borders, you know, and some distinguishing between.
Yeah. And where is the border between sound art and music, or the sound art
for
and,
example.
And noise? Or,
for example, yeah.
Of course, it all has to do with ideas. I mean, if every idea that comes up into a human brain is sort of creative act. The slightest idea you have is a creative act. So if I use sound in a deliberate way with an idea behind it, I present it as a sort of special experience for anybody, it can be called sound art.
Okay.
Difficult question.
That's a interesting topic, because I've been in few conferences about this topic, and even between real sound artists, there are really many interpretations of what is it really.
For me personally, it's not such interesting issue. I mean, what exactly can be called sound art or what not? I mean, I will make the things I want to make, and I will present these things in with the possibilities I have. And I even was thinking, like the film I've just been making in Beijing, is this, can you still call this art? I mean, it was a film, that was the beginning, and then you start to manipulate this film and present it in a gallery, and then suddenly it becomes art. But so is it interesting to think about it? I don't know. It's interesting also to let go of this idea, and that's what I try to do. So, because there's a sort of jargon. That's also what I think in the Netherlands. There's a sort of jargon. This is art. If it has to be not too obvious, it has to be conceptual. And then, so, and I found out in Beijing, which was interesting over there, is that these boundaries of what is art and what are sort of stretched over there, because it's extreme what happened over there in the gallery world, and you can it's really a sort of adventure to go to galleries again, and in the Netherlands you can sort of more or less expect to find art, and of course that can be anything, but I found out in Beijing it's these boundaries are sort of more difficult to set, and this is also quite interesting, because you can be really surprised sometimes. I can really stand in front of something thinking, can this be art, or is this just a coincidence, or what is it? So
Is it in a good level? I mean, the contemporary art in Beijing.
It can be really bad, and it can be really good, and that is more or less the core thing. Like, it's very diverse, and there's a lot of kitsch and a lot of terrible stuff. But there's also, it's surprising. So that's what my main experience was over there. It's more surprising.
I have to say that I had the same feeling in Botanical Garden here, while there were just five works, just five works, but I had quite wide...
As to quality, you mean?
Yes, between these five works there was quite big range between works which seemed to me to be interesting and good and involving me, you know?
Yeah, but that's...
Comparing to another works which seemed to me like... You know, there really have to be a question, what is it, you know, and what is sound art, you know? How does this become something what can represent, I don't know, the Western Europe sound art, you know?
But I guess that's also because the invitations for this project were not related to some sort of theme or whatever. So people have been, as far as I understand, have been asked to participate in a rather random way. Like there were more, it was not one person deciding, I will choose artists that I find interesting, but it's a gathering of a group of people, and everybody, different initiatives of sound art places in Europe, and they gathered and they proposed people to participate. So that might also be the reason why it's so diverse in what you get to see now. But that's also interesting, or not, because you can get some sort of, you can look around and make your decisions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Make your conclusions, yeah, about what it is it.
Yeah, yeah, or it can be.
I'm gonna ask the last question. Actually, I have a little bit copied this question from Hans Ulrich Olbricht. That's mm-hmm. I don't know. I think he's German origin, mm-hmm. journalist. He's always asking musicians, do you have any unrealized ideas which could be practically realized, or just some fantastic ideas which could be never realized? Like, first idea was about this choir, and then suddenly the roof falls down, you know. That's,
yeah,
one of such genre, you know, of these fantastic ideas.
Yeah. But of course, an idea like that you can try to visualize in all kinds of ways. So that's what I've tried, in fact, with this work. I mean, you can get, you have a sort of strange idea, and you cannot make it reality as it is, but you can sort of transform it,
yeah,
into something,
yeah,
with all the limitations you have with technique. And but I like these kind of limitations, because they force you to make different decisions, and sometimes you can really discover new possibilities because you cannot do something you want to do.
There are people who say that creativity is just simple ability to solve problems. If we are being contradicted with some kind of problem,
mm-hmm.
then we need creativity to solve it, and so, yeah.
That might be the natural background of creativity. I mean, the way creativity is meant to be as a sort of part of survival strategy or something.
Yeah.
You have to be creative to survive also.
But returning to unrealized,
yeah,
ideas, these fantastic genre, to sci-fi genre of you as an artist, I mean, in any genre, in sculpture, in music, in video, or combined all of these, do you have some fantastic ideas?
Ideas which are unable to realize.
Or you're planning to realize something big, you'd like to.
I should be prepared for this question, because right now I cannot think of anything. Fantastic ideas. It's, I guess, the most fantastic idea I have, which will probably never be realized, but every time you are trying to reach this point, is to make this sort of final art piece that is that's sort of saying everything you want to say, and you want and in fact, every time I make a new piece, I always while working on it have the idea, maybe this is the one, maybe this will be this sort of the work that, and in fact it would in my opinion it would be a work like there's no question about it. So it would not be a work like you look at it and you say, what the hell is this? But it would be perfectly clear.
Yeah.
Like if you look in space and you see the moon and you see stars, it's a huge mystery, but there's no question because it's there and it's just perfect, actually. So the ideal artwork for me in that aspect would be the artwork like that doesn't raise any questions anymore, because the mystery of it is so huge that you can only accept it.
Okay. Thank you.